We are in the Sivo Shalom on Parsha Toldot on page Kuf Nun Zayin Vayatir Lo. Thank you so much to the Greenwald family for hosting us here in Chutz La'aretz. Yirtzeh Hashem, we should all learn together in Eretz Yisrael very soon. Parsha Toldot Vayatir Lo. Ziva Shalom quotes the pasuk, "Vayater Yitzchak laHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi vayater lo Hashem." Yitzchak daven. The word vayater is a word of tefillah, a unique word for tefillah. Yitzchak daven to Hashem opposite his wife because she was barren. Vayater lo Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to his tefillah. Uverashi, and Rashi on the pasuk says, "Vayater lo." Lo velo la. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the tefillah? Vayater lo. Hashem heard his tefillah. Hashem heard Yitzchak's tefillah. Lo velo la. Her and him, his tefillah and not her tefillah, not Rivka's tefillah. She'ein dome tefillah tzadik ben rasha l'tefillah tzadik ben tzadik. Because there's no comparison of the tefillah of a tzadik who's the child of a rasha as compared to the tefillah of a tzadik who's the son of a tzadik, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems, according to Rashi, turned to Yitzchak's tefillah because Yitzchak was the son of Avraham as opposed to Rivka, who was the son of, the daughter of Lavan. L'fichach lo velo la. The Mefarshim ask about this. Sharei, now, top of your page, Kufnun Chet, Sharei Shnehem Bakshu Bakasha Achat, that both of them asked for the same thing. V'akadosh Baruch Hu ne'atar le'bakashatam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillah. V'im kein, ma ha'mashma'ut, shatzra madgisha ki v'ayatar Hashem lo v'lo la. Meaning, at the end of the day, they were davening for a child. And at the end of the day, they had a child. So what is the Torah trying to bring out here by emphasizing, but just to be clear, even though they had a child, it was his tefillah. Like what? Like very, very, you know, chauvinistic. Like why? Like what's being brought out there? What's the meaning behind the fact that Dafka HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah specifically clarifies that the tefillah that was responded to was Yitzchak's tefillah as opposed to Rivka's tefillah? What are we meant to take out of that? What's that supposed to mean? V'hainyan, thank you so much. V'hainyan. Dinei Hashem Yiparach hitbia bechol seder habriya shiye beofen shel klipa kadma lepri. Very, very fundamental concept, foundational concept, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines the Bria, defines the entire world in a way where the klipa always comes before the pri, where the outside always comes before the fruit. And I'm sure he's going to talk about it, and then we'll open it up. Chashucha v'hadar nahora. The darkness comes before the light. And there are different ways of saying the same thing, but they're different, obviously different aspects of the mashalim. But that it's always dark before light. That's how reality works. Things always get challenging before they get easier. It always gets dark before it clarifies. And in life, it's a big thing to really internalize. In life, we go through so many challenges. And the reality of life is that we're meant to understand and embrace the fact that life is full of challenges, and that the darkness, dafka, always comes first. We always go through a reality of darkness, and only then comes the light. I don't know if the Sfarim talk about it as such, but certainly in terms of the relevance of this time of the year, you know, you come out of like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you start the new year, and yes, we have the holidays of Tishrei, and then it's like, the end, right? That's it, right? The end of Tishrei, nothing. Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, which has a lot of different meanings to it, but one of them is, you know, the bitter Cheshvan because there's no holidays in it, nothing. Kislev, by the end, maybe we'll get to a holiday, you know, where we just bench Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And we're coming, you're like, okay, fine. First day of Kislev, nothing. 15th of Kislev, every holiday's on the 15th, nothing. Got to wait all the way till the end. Why? Because the darkness always comes first, but what comes at the end? Chanukah, the light always comes out. The darkness of the year. We move into the dark time of the year, right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. After that, it's already we're starting into the dark stage of the year, where the days start to get shorter, the nights start to get longer. Time of an internal place. There's not an external celebration anymore. It's moving into an internal place. Outside in the world, it gets colder, and everybody moves inside. The animals are not even out; they're all going into hibernation, some sort of internal space that we're moving into, and the whole world's moving into. And it's dark, and it's unclear. And it's cold and it's night, but the light comes out. Chanukah comes and the light comes out. It's always darkness before the light. The way that, again, the Mekubalim bring it down and the way that he brought it down here from them is that there's no fruit on the face of the planet where you have the fruit, the juicy fruit on the outside and the peels in the center, the peels on the inside. Always the peel is covering the fruit. And you always have to go through the peel. Remove that outer layer that's keeping you away from that which you want, from that which you desire. There's always that outer layer that you need to get through in order to get to the goodness that's inside, in order to get to what you were always looking for. That's how it always goes in life. I'm sure none of you are in the parsha of dating. It's always like the process of dating. The process of dating is the klipa. The process of dating is the klipa. And it's dark. It's very, very dark. Shidduch Bar Zemezer are not bright. It's very, very dark. And the darkness of the process of I'm going out again, and I'm going out again, and I'm going out again. And until you see that light at the end of the tunnel, yeah? Can we testify? When you see that light at the end of the tunnel and you sit down across the person who you know is the one, you finally sit down in front of the one, and you're like, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. And then you get to the wedding, and then you really understand. Then you get to the marriage, and you really understand. But when you sit across from that person, you really understand, you know? You sit there, and you're starting off the semester, and then you hit midterms. And if all of you were in college for at least a semester at this, has anybody just fresh out? Yeah, you guys just fresh out. Has anybody not been through a full semester yet? A lot of you. Oh, you guys feel like already ancient. Okay. This trip feels like it's been 6 years, so that's not fair. So you guys have started midterms. And as you will learn, and everybody here who has been through it can testify, midterms conclude after finals are over. Meaning it's that sense of like, you know, that endless darkness. What?
Like I had one November 1st, and then there was like, I still, my last one tomorrow.
Right, and then they go right into the edge of finals, and then finals hopefully end, but then finals end, and then suddenly you have like, it's secular college, or if you're in secular college, or Queens, which is half secular. So then like, then you get you 4 or 6 weeks off, right?
Yeah.
If you're in Stern, then you don't. If Stern and Turo don't, because, you know, why would you do that? But in secular college, right, it's that darkness of like, is this ever going to end? And then like, and then 4 or 6 weeks off, come back to Eretz Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem, or you go and, you know, reconnect with family, reconnect with davening, reconnect with learning, which you haven't seen in, you know, 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. That darkness that always comes first and the light that comes at the end. But that's the process of life. That's the process of everything in life. And that's what he's saying here. But it's a fundamental concept, and we see it in a lot of places. He says here, I was going to give the example, but everybody gives the same example. I'm sure I got it from him. Hein devriyat ha'olam, so too with the whole creation of the world. How does every single day go? Kemo dichtiv, vayihi erev, vayihi voker. Every single day from creation. First it's night, and then it's day. The darkness always comes before the light. That's how the whole Bria was designed. That's how the whole reality was designed. Mikodem chashocha v'hadar nehora. First there's darkness, and then there's light. V'chein b'chol yom v'yom, and so too by every single day. Uvimuchad kodem alot hashachar. And specifically, even before, right before sunrise. Every single day, the deepest darkness is at the end of the nighttime. And there's so much, this farm talk about it a lot. The deepest darkness is dafka at the end of the night. And that's why the ideal time to daven shachris is when? Is the daven shachris right before the sun comes up. But that darkness that comes all the deep darkness that comes all the way at the end. I don't know if he's going to get into this, but by all of us also. No, he's not going to get into it. By all of us also. Right? We're in 5783. We're in 5783. Right? Meaning we live in such a dark and complicated time. So much challenge. But the reason why that is because it's always darkness before the light. As if we're the generation that's going to be before Mashiach, right? There's only so many years left that we have until 6,000. Even Bezrat Hashem, we bring Mashiach tomorrow. When Tiferet Kruso, Rav Meir says it'll come today. Fine. But even if Mashiach comes today, tomorrow, but like we're at the end of a 2,000-year exile. We're at the end of 5,000 plus years of history. It's of course it's dark now. When the light of Mashiach comes out, when the light of Olam Haba comes out, when the light of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out, that's the ultimate light that there is. And so it's always going to be darkest before the light. And to live in a generation, it's heartbreaking. With so many people going off the derech, with so many people becoming confused, with the rise of atheism, agnosticism, and apathy. And that's, I mean, it's really, we're not even fighting like Christianity and you know, Islam anymore. Like, it's not even relevant anymore. You know, we're fighting just agnosticism mostly. Not even atheism. Atheism, you talk to people, very few atheists out there, but a lot of agnostics out there. I don't know and I don't care. It's the combination of agnosticism and apathy. I don't know, I don't care. Don't bother me with this God stuff. Don't bother me with this religious stuff. That's really where it's coming from. And that walking away because I don't feel spiritual, I don't feel connected, because at the end of the days, it's so dark. It's so dark. And it's so hard for people to find the light. It's so hard for people to find the light. And it's an amazing thing to me. I mentioned this usually in the Hanukkah stream, but we're coming up on Hanukkah. I'm not going to see you guys again, so we'll talk about a little bit of Hanukkah now also. And I'm talking about darkness to light. But every year I'm always reminded of this, that it's always like so stark that you guys are hopefully going to be in Eretz Yisrael, but if you're still in Chutz La'aretz by Hanukkah time, that you know, there are so many big holidays in the Jewish calendar. But you're going to watch, I know that there isn't television anymore, I don't know what happens with streaming and commercials, but you will still see in stores or whatever, like I remember back in the day, like when we actually watched, you had to like sit down in front of the television at a specific time and watch what they told you to watch at that time. It was crazy. And you had these things called commercials, insane, you couldn't skip them. And so you would sit there and you'd watch, and like during, you know, the next coming time of year, it would be Happy Holidays. And they'd have some sort of tree, I don't know what that was about, some sort of tree. And they'd also have like Chanukiah. Think about it, like, think about the big holidays in Judaism throughout the cycle of the year. Like Sukkot time, they're not like Happy Hut Day. Like, there's no like huts in the Kabbalah. But like a Chanukiah, like in the apartment, in my mother's apartment in Manhattan. Like, again, there's this big bush, and then there's also a Chanukiah sitting out there. But like the whole world's, why is everybody aware of Hanukkah? Because the whole world, every Jew, we're all looking for light. And Hanukkah is that light in the darkness. That's all we want. That's all we care. That's all we're looking for. And Dafka, the generation at the end of days, we're all looking for that light. We all walk into a shir and we hope we're going to get a little bit of that spark. We all walk into a davening and we hope. We daven that our davening should have a little bit of davening in it. Maybe. I got to tell you, on this trip, I got to do not a world tour, but a U.S. tour of modern Orthodox American shuls. There's not much davening going on in those shuls. There was one shul, I stepped out for a minute to use the restroom, and I lost 60 seconds. So then, by the time I got to Shmona Esrei, they were in Chazaras HaShatz. I took three steps back, three steps forward, and they were already in Chazaras HaShatz. I was like, I'm just not going to be a chidus, it's fine. And it hurts. You feel that pain. You're like, you hope, is there a little bit of davening in my daven? A little bit of light in the tefillah. I went all the way to shul. Do I feel a little bit of light in shul? Do I feel a little of light in the shir that I go into? A little bit of light as I play, as I listen to something, as I'm walking down the street. We're all looking for light. And all Jews connect to Hanukkah in some way because it's the light that we're all looking for. But that's because we're living in darkness. And that's the way it's meant to be. It's always darkest before dawn. It's always darkest before Elul HaShachar. It's always darkest before the end of days. And it's not that we're in a situation that we're not prepared for. If we're here, it's because we are the people who are meant to be here in that time of darkness and to bring ourselves to the light. And that's incredibly empowering. If you're sitting at this table, if you're listening to the shir, if you're alive in this time, it's because we are the people who were meant to live in that darkness and to bring out the light. And that's a huge challenge and a huge responsibility. But it's something that we can all do and we need to fight for, and to know that that's what the reality of our life is to get through that darkness to get to the light. The Chaim B'Seder Adaroti says, Kamosha Amru Chazal, as Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Asara Dorot mi Adam v'ad Noach, v'chin Asara Dorot mi Noach v'ad Avraham. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noach and 10 generations from Noach to Avraham Avinu. Shekol otama dorot hayu mach isim uvain. They all just came and went. V'ainu shekodem sheitchil olam ha'tikun. Meaning, says the Nesivos Shalom, before we got to the reality of where we started to actually fix the world. V'heir oro shel Avraham Avinu. Meaning, till the light of Avraham comes out. And Avram, who's the first person to come and start to post Eitz Hadas, to be first person to come out and start to actually fix the world. Hayuchav Doros, there were 20 generations, and they lived nice and long lifetimes back then. There were 20 generations living hundreds of years. Shel Siach Hashchut, of just the epitome of darkness. Sheyum Machisim Uvain, they would just anger Kadosh Baruch Hu and go. Anger Kadosh Baruch Hu and go. Virak Hadar Havei Nahora, and only at the end, 20 generations later, the first Hanukkah light gets lit. It's called Avraham Avinu. The first light comes. It's called Avraham Avinu. Dawn breaks. It's called Avraham Avinu. Sheitchil olam ha'tikun al yedei or ha'chesed shel Avraham Avinu. That the beginning of the tikun comes through the chesed of Avraham Avinu. That's the beginning. Right? People going and opening up their houses so people can learn in their houses on a Sunday morning. The chesed of Avraham Avinu, that's the beginning of the tikun. That's the beginning of bringing about that light that's coming out. V'cheinu b'chol Adam, and so too by every single person. Sheyitzahara magia elav miyad kasher yotzei la'avir olam. That mamish, the Yitzahara comes and attacks us the second that we walk out into this world. The second we're born, the Yitzahara has already been on top of us. If you will, and some of you are feeling it more intensely at this moment, right? The second you walk out of the womb of seminary and yeshiva, and you walk into the Avir HaOlam, you walk into the air of the world of coming back into reality. I know some people don't like the concept of like, no, you're coming back into reality. Like, no, seminary is, no, seminary and yeshiva is not reality. I'm saying it right here, right now. I'm planting my flag. That's not reality. It is very much the womb. It's the womb of being able to take in all of the nutrients and all of the love and all of the warmth and all of everything you need to prepare you to come out into the world and live life as a successful Jew. But some of you are just started taking your first breaths, you know? It's not simple. That the second you come out into the world, the Yitzhar is attacking you. Think of all of the things that you accomplished and you achieved, whether it was 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or if you're listening 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, it doesn't matter. I'm turning 18 this year, right? I'm still very young. I'm turning 18 this year, you know, when I first went out into started to breathe in the world, you know? That the second you come out, the Yitzhar attacks you. Things that were so clear when you were in that womb of Torah. Things that were so clear. The light that shone. And now you can appreciate it in retrospect. I can't say this when I'm actually teaching in Yeshiva Seminary. But like when you could come up with all of your problems of like, my Shemona Esrei is 5 minutes shorter today, and I don't know what that means. Am I falling off the derech? And it's like, oh my God, shut up. You know, it's like, and in the moment, you don't say that because it's the biggest crisis in the world, and I understand. You know, I can't get into it's December, and I can't get into things. It's the biggest crisis in the world, right? And we have to have a little circle time in the middle of the affair. I mean, like, and again, and in that moment, and I mean this genuinely, when I'm sitting there with you all, that to me is the most important thing in the world. But it doesn't change the fact that back in my mind, I'm like, halavai, these were everybody's problems. You know, halavai is everybody's problems. And you walk out of seminary, you walk out of yeshiva, and you come out into the world, and the Yitzhar attacks you. It attacks you in every way that you thought that it never would. It attacks you in every way you thought that you'd grown past. It attacks you when it comes to davening bichlal. It attacks you when it comes to saying tehillim, if you were keeping up, if you're doing nachyomi, if you were learning, if you were even davening every day, shachris and mincha, one or the other, both, whatever. It just attacks you in stuff between guys and girls and things that you thought that you weren't being tested anymore. Suddenly you're tested in ways that you never expected. Social pressures, you're tested. With schoolwork, you're tested. Am I going to study on Shabbos or am I going to keep Shabbos Kadosh? You're tested. It's not simple. The second you come out into the world, the Yitzhar is on you. K'mod Yichtiv, as it says, Ki Yitzhar Lev Ha'adam, Rami Nu'rav. Those of you may remember this from Seder Vav, who were in Seder Vav last year. Right? Ki Yitzhar Lev Ha'adam, Rami Nu'rav. Because the nature of a person, it's Ra, when we're young, that's when the Yitzhar is mamish at its peak. Only when a person becomes bar bat mitzvah, by lav gama yitzer atov. Little kids run around like crazy, they do whatever they want. You try your best to help train them that when the Yitzhara begins to enter into them, when they turn bar bat mitzvah, and they start to making actual free choice decisions, and their decisions have consequence when they're bar and bat mitzvah. Right? That's what a bar mitzvah really is, right? It's not a party at which you do averos. It's meant to be a moment of reflection when you actually go into accepting upon yourself that every action I now take is a meaningful action of either tov or ra, of mitzvah or avera, of avodas Hashem or not. It's an incredibly transformative moment, and the Yitzhara comes into a person to fight that Yitzhara so you can make those decisions and to choose a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to choose tov. Shugam ken al derech mitchilat chashucha havahat anor. It's the same concept. Darkness to light. That movement from darkness before bar mitzvah to light afterward. That darkness that comes right when I come out of the womb of Eretz Yisrael until I'm able to grow and be able to develop my Yitzhar HaTov, to be able to withstand the challenges of the Avir HaOlam, of the world that we live in. V'al derech ze gam be'inyanei avodas Hashem. So too in the realm of avodas Hashem. B'tchila hu chashuch, at the beginning it's dark. K'mo sh'amru Chazal say, Kol hatchalot kashot. The beginning is always the hardest. Mikan va'elach yarav lachem. Afterwards, it'll be sweet to you, but at the beginning, it's always hard. Kasher yudi rotzel iskot beitzot shel or. When a person wants to achieve a little spark of light, harei utzarich la'avor mikodem chashuch. You have to go through darkness first. Hopefully, all of you have been successful in your own way. But that first time you go and you're in a new environment, the first time you came back home after Shana Aleph, the first time that you went and you sat down in a shul in Chutz La'aretz, the first time that you went and you sat down in the Beis Medrash in your college, whether it's a secular college or a Jewish college, doesn't matter. The first time you went, the first time you sit there, and it's darkness. The sitter doesn't feel like the same sitter. The sefer doesn't feel like the same sefer. The words don't feel like the same words. Where's that light? Where's all the lights I gathered in that year in Israel? Where's all that lights I gathered in those spiritual moments? Where did they go? It's that reflection. No. I came into a place where it's darkness, and the avoda is kol atchalot chashod. It's hard. But to sit there in the darkness in shul, in the darkness in the Beis Medrash, in the darkness in camp when you're doing chesed, wherever it is that you go and you want to do a positive thing, the avoda of striking and striking and striking and striking that match. And even if it takes 100 times and you break 50 matches first, to strike and to strike and to strike and to strike until that first spark comes. And once that spark comes, you can turn into a fire. But it's always darkness before light. Always going to be that way. Always has been, always will be. It's always darkness before light. V'inyan ze mutba b'teva kol abriyah. This is part of the fabric of creation. Shekolt smicha tchilah edar hainu rikavon gir'in azri'ah rakachar ha'edar mitchilah tzmicha. He develops this concept more in a different piece. But he says so beautifully that you see that in literally in the natural world. That when you take a seed, the way that it works is you plant a seed in the ground. You're like, I know that. Okay, fine. You plant a seed in the ground, but what happens next? It sprouts, right? So that's not what happens in the ground. When you put the seed in the ground, the seed begins to die. The seed literally begins to die. And it begins to shrivel and shrivel and shrivel until it comes to the brink of death where it can't produce any life. And only once it's at the brink of death, then a shoot sprouts up. So the whole world works. The only way to bring out new life is to embrace the fact that it's going to be challenging and difficult and hard. But the new life comes out from that difficulty. New life comes out from that darkness. And the beauty of it is, that beautiful, that mashal, and it's not a mashal, but it like literally happens, is that when you go into a new context, you have to plant yourself into a new context. And you need to go through the process of that challenge. But what comes out isn't what you had before. It's a whole new life that you've never experienced. It's a whole new avodas Hashem, a whole new life avodas Hashem that you never experienced. But it comes from fighting and being there on that earth of that new shul, the earth of that new Beis Medrash, the earth of that new location, the earth of coming back home and reorganizing your room. I apologize, I hope she didn't make a mess. But like, that of reorganizing your room and taking down all the old posters and taking down all of the old things that you had up and all and reorganizing the furniture and recreating a whole new reality. That a whole new reality of avodas Hashem, even in your home, in your room, can sprout forth. That's how it goes. That's how it works. Next paragraph. Questions, thoughts, comments? I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't even know what's flying. I don't know what day it is, I know what's going on. You guys are all just sitting there very nicely and quietly. I don't know if you're like, why should I anywhere else? Is everybody okay? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Vitama Davar. I didn't have to pause it. Vitama Davar. Hu al pima de'ita b'svarim hakadoshim. And this is based on the reason for this is as the svarim bring out. Vitam briyata olam ki Hashem yibarach hu atov. As the svarim bring out, what's the reason for all of this? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is Tov. Those who were in Night Seder last year, we talked about from Derech Hashem, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the Tov, right? That's all the way second on the chart. Tov, right? A Kaddish Baruch Hu is Tov. Umiderech HaTov Hu La'ativ. He's quoting directly from Derech Hashem, right? Umiderech HaTov Hu La'ativ. It's the nature of good. I think it's actually from Das Tevunos, but same idea. Miderech HaTov Hu La'ativ. It's the nature of good to give good. V'alkein bara ta'olam gedei la'ativ le'borav. The Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world only to give goodness to his creations. V'etzem HaTov v'tachlito. And the essence of good and its whole purpose. Hu b'vchinat asinegal Hashem. The only good that there is the joy in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence. The joy that we will ultimately have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like again, we developed at length and tremendously last year, and last year's Night Seder had a lot of problems with figuring out how Olam Haba worked. But we got there. We got there. And again, the whole end point is the whole reason why we go through all of Olam Hazeh is only to get to that end point of that ultimate goodness, the Dveikus at the end that we talked about, that is the Tov. The goal is to get to that enjoyment in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Mashiudi zoche umagia lita negal Hashem, that which a Jew gets to be able to get to the place where he can have joy in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, uleanot labriut, uleanot miziva shchina, to enjoy the radiance of God's presence. Shezehu hatanug hamiti, this is the true joy that there is. Uchedita Mesilas Yesharim, as the Mesilas Yesharim says, shezehu hatanug hagadol biyoter mikol hatanugim shebaolam. This is the biggest joy that there is. He's quoted from Mesilas Yesharim, and he also paraphrased from Derech Hashem and Das Tevunot. So it's all Ramchal, right? But he's saying here is that the goal, the ultimate goal of life is to get to the end game, which is enjoying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence at the end of days. Mizeu tachlit habriyah shiyudi yasig et zeh. And the whole goal of reality is that a Jew should understand this, should grasp this, should be able to achieve this. Ach kedei shiyudi yuchal laharviach zot ma'asav. But in order for a Jew to be able to achieve this in action, Shelo yiyeh nahama dekisufa. That when a Jew gets to Olam Haba, that he should be able to enjoy, that he should be able to enjoy that radiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he without getting into the details, meaning those of you again who were in Derech Hashem last year, we talked about this at length, but that remember when I took out the probably like 100 shekel bill and gave it to somebody and said, here, just take it? Was anybody there for that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. You remember that. Thank you. Somebody does. Which is, and that sense of awkwardness when I was just like, oh, here, take 100 shekels. And I'm like, well, why are you doing this? And that's exactly the point. That was the mashal for like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we didn't do anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of days gave us eternal joy forever, the best joy there is for all eternity, we wouldn't be able to accept it because I have no connection to it. It'd be awkward. It's awkward when that happens. It's awkward when somebody gives me something I don't feel that I deserve. And to understand that Olam Hazeh is the opportunity, the tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, not to enjoy this world, to utilize this world for its intended purpose, which is to work in this world, to fight in this world, to earn Olam Haba. Because if I earn it here, then when I get it there, I can fully embrace it, fully accept it. I can become one with it. That was last week's Parsha, a little bit of a taste of last week's Parsha. Right, Parsha Chayei Sarah. Why is it called Chayei Sarah? She dies in the first Pasuk. It's Chayei Sarah. So where does she go? She goes to Marat HaMachpelah. Maze Marat HaMachpelah? Rashi says, that it was one cave on top of another. Why does he have to bury her in a place where there's one cave on top of another? Because Sarah's teaching us what's true life. Olam Haba is true life. And she's buried here in this world, but there's something on top. There's something beyond. There's two layers to reality. And her true life begins in Olam Haba. Over here, this is just the work to achieve what I'm going to get for eternity. Chayei Sarah. It's already afterward. If you live your life for real in this world, if you truly live in this world, you live eternally in the next world. And that's what it's about. Bara Hashem Yibarach et kol minei yitzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you all of the yitzharas in this world. Shekol inenei ha'olam yishnam yitzarim afeilim sheyodit tzarich litageo litgaber aleihem. That on all of the aspects of the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us so many yitzharas that we need to fight and fight and fight against them. And through that we fight and we succeed in fighting against that darkness, in succeeding against that darkness. We're able to get through our actions, top of the next column, then we can truly enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying that we were talking about moments and experiences in life where it's darkness for light. He's saying, but on a much bigger scale, Olam Hazeh is darkness before the light of Olam Haba. We experience it in micro levels according, you know, in each day, in each month, in each year, in each stage of life, consider whatever it is. But he's saying here on the grandest of scales, this world, Olam Hazeh, is the darkness before the light. And just to understand, like, to reflect, when I know that, I can engage in this world so much more positively. I can engage this world so much more successfully. So many people are so angry at God. Why is this world so hard? Why isn't this world easier? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it so difficult? It's because we don't understand. That's why we learn Derech Hashem and Zilah Shalom at Night Seder. Is because we don't understand. And it's so sad when I hear people get so upset about that, because the answers are right there. We just don't learn them. The answer is no. Every challenge in this world, every single one, is a gift. It's the gift of darkness. It's the gift of the struggle in the darkness. Because if I struggle in the darkness and I succeed in the darkness at achieving my goal, then I get eternal light. True eternal light. And unless I know that, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evil and horrible and manipulative and vengeful. It does seem that way. Because life is hard. And I'm doing a Jew, and I'm doing mitzvot, and I'm trying to daven, and I'm learning, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it so hard? I'm doing everything right. And the answer is, yeah, that's why he's making it hard. You are doing everything right. So he's upping the ante. He's making it even harder for you so you can earn even more reward from the world to come. Davka, that's the way it's supposed to be. At every stage of success, it's meant to then increase the level of challenge, because the more you overcome the challenge, the more you succeed in that darkness. The more HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it darker and darker and darker through the whole night, because it's darkest before dawn. And then when dawn comes, Olam Haba comes. You're already there. Your mamash, you're there in a way where everything, your whole life was building up to this moment. The way that my Rebbe put it one time, he's like, life is like a dimmer switch. He says, the goal is your whole life. You can walk around in that darkness. Or you can spend your whole life slowly, 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 over 120 years, pushing up that dimmer switch and turning on the light. Because when Olam Haba comes, it's all the same for everyone. But there's two different types of people. Kadosh Baruch Hu only wants to give goodness. But when he gives goodness, that goodness is light. And if you lived your life in darkness, you ever been in a dark room and then somebody flicks on the light unexpectedly and like you can't see and you put your arms in front of your head, right? And for people who live in that darkness and embrace that darkness, no fight against that darkness, when Olam Haba comes, it's the same light. But they're holding their heads up and they're closing their eyes. They can't embrace the light. Those of us who fight in Olam Hazeh, we slowly, 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 we turn up that dimmer switch. And then we go on to Olam Haba. We're just looking at the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're staring at the entire time. That's the ultimate goal. But that's a serious and tremendous avoda. It's a very, very hard avoda, but it's the avoda of life. It's turning on the light in this world so that when I go to the next world, there's no transition. There's no transition. Chai Yisara. What's the end? What's the last? Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. All of Sefer Bereishit is Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. What's the last parsha in Sefer Bereishit? Vayechi, it's the end. It's the death. No. Yaakov Inu Lo Meit. Yaakov Inu never dies. He's living in the light. There's no transition for him from the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He's living in the light. End of Bereishit is all into the light. And the question is, am I living through that transition? Or can I not? Because I was living in the darkness of this world. And that's up to me. Next paragraph. V'inyan ze shel chashucha v'hadr nehora hayagam ken itzal avot ha-kadoshim. Oh, so we're getting, it's okay, Tess, we're getting back to it. We're getting back to the piece. Right. To the question. V'inyan ze shel chashucha v'hadr nehora. This concept of darkness for light, it also was by the avos. How so? Shaklipa kadma lepri. Where again, the shell, the peel always comes before the fruit. Sha'avram avinu. Holidat Yishmael kodem Yitzchak, which is also very shaykh to our Seder Vav Shirim, for those who were there, right? That Avram Avinu, he has to give birth to Yishmael before Yitzchak can come out. The peel has to come before the fruit. The darkness has to come before the light. Shavram Avinu, holidat Yishmael kodem Yitzchak, sheterem hi'ir urosh al Yitzchak, that before the light of Yitzchak could come out, Yatzak klipat Yishmael, first came out the klipa of Yishmael. V'chein etzel Yitzchak, and so too by Yitzchak. Haya klipat Esav. Kodem she'ir rosh al Yaakov. First, the klipa of Esav. Esav had to be the bechor. He had to come out first. The klipa, the darkness, always comes before the light. Esav has to come out before Yaakov. Omnam, however, Yaakov ha'ita mitato shlema. But when it comes to Yaakov, he's already complete. He's the bechira avot. He's the shalem. He's complete. V'lo haya etzlo inyana klipa kodem apri. By Yaakov was already the balance, already the completion of this three-part process, Chesed Gevura Tiferet, this Chut HaMishulash, whatever, however you want to frame it, he's already, there's no klipa there. Kevan she'Avram haya or chadash. Why is that? Because Avram was this brand new light. Shel midat ha-chesed. Of chesed, the light of chesed, it starts everything. V'yalken haya tzarich b'vchina she'teitzea klipa mikodem. And therefore, the klipa had to come out first. V'chin Yitzchak haya or chadash shel midat ha-gevura. And Yitzchak was this whole new light of gevura. So again, The klipa had to come out first. Aval Yaakov lo haya or chadash. But there was no new light by Yaakov Avinu. Shemidat tiferet. He's the midah of tiferet, right? He's this light that comes out. Hakolel et chesed u'gvura. That brings out chesed, that brings out the reality of chesed, the reality of gvura. Shezeu inyan hashlemut ba'avodat Hashem. I don't know what that Rosh Yeshiva is. That's the Avos and Avodas Hashem all coming together as one. I've never seen that before. V'lachin lo haya tzarich l'klipa b'tchila. And therefore, there didn't need to be a klipa first. V'yalkin, and therefore, matzinu she'Avram chafar beirot. That's why we find that Avram digs wells. V'chein Yitzchak chafar beirot. And so too Yitzchak wells. Lots of wells going on in Bereishit, right? The wells are a big theme in Chumash. It's a very big thing. There's another piece in this parsha that's all about wells that I was thinking of doing. I've done it for many years. I like that piece a lot, but I wanted to try something new. But if you can find it online, what he has to say on the wells is very, very beautiful. V'chein Yitzchak chafar beirot. And so too Yitzchak digs wells. V'ilu b'Yaakov lo matzinu she'chafar beirot. The only one of the avos not to dig wells is Yaakov. Kivan she'Avram v'Yitzchak imshichu orot chadashim. Meaning, what does a well do? You're drawing forth water. Meaning, they dug wells because they had to draw out new waters, metaphorically. They had to draw forth new waters. Avram's drawing forth new waters of chesed. Yitzchak's drawing forth new waters of gvura. But Yaakov's not drawing forth anything new, so he doesn't need to dig the wells. Because the whole idea of digging the wells, it's all about bringing out new light, bringing out some new light that was never there before. Which is not true by Yaakov, for those who, again, who are familiar with the spheros or when my Seder Vav, right? That chesed is to one extreme and gvura to the other extreme, and tiferet is the balance of the two. The balance and the harmony of the two. So he's, and again, it's its own unique midah, and there's a lot to say about that, but it's a harmonization and a balance of chesed and gvura. So therefore, he doesn't have to bring out any new light in that way. Next paragraph. So now we can understand, we can come back full circle, now we can understand what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the tefillah dafka of Yitzchak. Kine ba'avram avinu, matzinu sha'klipa lo hayital yidei Sarah. Then when it came by Avram Avinu, we see that the klipa, the issue, the peel, the shell, that's not coming through Sarah. Meaning, you think about it, it's very interesting what he's saying here. Meaning, it had to be that Yishmael came first, because he's the klipa. So Avram's trying to have, what is it, maybe he realizes, doesn't matter, is the klipa. But who is he trying with? Sarah. But Sarah is not shaykh to the klipa. There's no connection between that darkness and Sarah. So what eventually has to happen? So he has a relationship with Hagar, Hamitzrit. So she's able to bring out the klipa. And then Sarah, who was always going to be pure in that way, Sarah's able to just bring out Yitzchak. That's how he's framing it. Aval Yitzchak, haya olet olat mima, v'lo chafatz likach isha she'ina hogeret. But when it came to Yitzchak, so Yitzchak, same thing is true. But Yitzchak is a whole different place. Avram Avinu is Avram, and there's no comparisons to Avram. And Avram Avinu went through 10 tests, and he went through Orkastim and Lech Lecha and the Akedah. But who was on the other side of the Akedah? Yitzchak. And Yitzchak Mamish gave up his whole life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sacrificed himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And somebody who's willing to give his whole being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every ounce of his being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was no way he was taking a wife that wasn't appropriate. There was no Hagar for Yitzchak. His personality, and deep in that, his midah is not going to allow for that. There can't be a Hagar for Yitzchak. Ugedita of Midrash, the Midrash says, Shebikesh Yitzchak, that Yitzchak said, Ribono shel olam, kol banim shatano ten li yemina tzadeka tazo. No. Whatever children you give me are coming through this tzadekes. Only through Rivka. There's no one else. No way. Anyone you want to give me, you give me through this tzadekes. V'Rivka yad amiz, and Rivka knew this. V'ibaksha lehepach shehaklipa lo tiyeh mimena. So was she davening? No, but I don't want the klipa. Rivka's like, no. I want to be pure. I don't want the klipa. So Yitzchak's saying, no. I don't want, only Rivka. And Rivka's saying, no. I don't want klipas. So there's this counterbalance that's happening. There's this spiritual disconnect that's happening. Kimei Shashi, you know, again, she said, no, it's fine. Let him have, she doesn't know, it was Esav at the time. Let him have Esav through somebody else. I don't want an Esav. Kimei Shashi, you know, again, let it be like Avram Avinu. I don't want that. V'hainu sha'av shebikshu davar achad, even though they were, yes, both davening for a child, and they were, in fact, they were dafka both davening for Yaakov. They were both davening for Yaakov Avinu. Mikom akom kol achad bikesh sheyeh ba'ofan acher. They were totally different tefillas, because they were asking for different things. One was asking that Esav should come from Rivka, and the other one was asking that Esav should come from somebody else. They all were, and it was two different ways of getting to Yaakov, and they understood how to get to Yaakov, and all they wanted was to get to Yaakov. But how do we get to Yaakov? V'zeu v'yater lo Hashem, lo v'lo la. That's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka turned to Yitzchak's tefillah, and an Esav come through Rivka. He dafka didn't answer Rivka's tefillah. He said, no, it's going to come through. Like Yitzchak asked, it's going to come through you. It's going to come through Rivka, just like Yaakov. Sheshnei banav yu me Rivka atzadekes. That both of them are going to come through Rivka. What does that mean? What's the significance of that? V'yish lavin bazeh. We can understand from this. Mad'ita me Ari HaKadosh. That which the Ari HaKadosh brings out. Sheyishmael einu bichlal yinika mekidusha. That when it comes to Yishmael, Yishmael has no connection to Kedusha. He doesn't draw any life force from holiness. Like Sarah says to Avram, get rid of her, exile her, send her away, send her and her child away. Shein lo shum chelak b'kedusha, because they have no connection to Kedusha. There's nothing not shayach to this house. We have a bias of Kedusha. And there's no connection to Yishmael and Hagar to Kedusha. They don't belong here. Aval Esav. Esav, yesh lo k'tzati nikam ya'kedusha. He does draw from a little bit, but he does draw from Kedusha, because he comes from Rivka. He comes from Rivka, I mean. Since Yishmael was born from Hagar Mitzri, it is not Shayach. Doesn't get from Kedusha. But not like Esav. He was mamish born from a tzadikas. He was born from Rivka. He mamish is able to get a little bit from the Kedusha. Keep in mind, it's all coming from you, all, not me. It's all coming from you, right? The ability to draw from Kedusha, it all comes from you. And that's what Chazal say. Wow, I never heard that spin on it. I've heard other takes on that, but that when Esav dies, the Midrash brings down how Esav dies, that Chushim Ben Dan, when they're arguing about whether or not Yaakov's going to be buried in Marat HaMachpelah, and Esav says, I won't let him pass, and Chushim Ben Dan goes, have you heard the story? Chushim Ben Dan said he was deaf, and he just sees all this commotion, and he sees that, and he says, what's happening? And somebody explains that like Esav is not letting Yaakov through, and he just draws out his sword. I don't think the sword. He draws out his sword and lops off his head. But what happens? Esav's head rolls into Marat HaMachpelah. So the explanation that I'd heard before was that meaning he was holding. But Esav was very holding in Torah. That was how he was able to trick his father. Based on Rashi, who brings down from Chazal, he was able to trick his father. He was holding in Torah. So in his rosh, he understood. But in his body, he lived pure Tumah, and that was why his head rolled into Ma'ar HaMachpelah, but not the rest of him. But he said, no, he's saying even deeper than that. Since he was born from Rivka, he drew a little bit from Kedusha. And so since a little bit of him drew from Kedusha, his head went into Ma'ar HaMachpelah, because it was Kadosh. A little bit of him was Kadosh, because it came from Rivka, I mean, because he was drawing a Yanika from Kedusha. And so a little bit of him goes into Ma'ar HaMachpelah. And based on this, we can understand that why did Yitzchak love Esav? How could he have loved Esav? How was he even Shayach? And he has a whole piece also to explain that. How is it even possible, Shayach, that he loved Esav? She Yitzchak Savor, Hayash Yaakov Esav Shnehem Sadikim. Because Yitzchak thought, it's not that he didn't understand who Yaakov was. It's that Yitzchak thought that both Yaakov and Esav were Sadikim. Why? Because they're both the sons of Rivka. How could it be that a son of Rivka couldn't be Kadosh? He thought both of them were from Kedusha. But that Yaakov was coming out in an extreme reality of Midah of Chesed. The Esav of Midah of Gvura, and Esav was coming out as a reality of Gvura. And that's why Yitzchak loved Esav. This is actually what the other piece is about. Again, all these are online, but he's, it, just to give it in a sentence, Avraham's whole reality is Chesed, Seder of both people. What was the who comes out as the negative side of Chesed?
Yishmael.
And then Esav comes out as a reality of, Yitzchak comes out as a reality of Gvura. So Esav is negative Gvura, and then Yaakov is Tiferet. So he brings down very beautifully that the reason why Yitzchak felt a deep connection to Esav is because what's Yitzchak's midah? Gvura, but Gvura of Kedusha. What's Esav's midah? Also Gvura, but a Gvura of Tumah, an extreme reality of Gvura. He was tricked into believing that it was a Gvura of Kedusha. And had he been right and it was a Gvura of Kedusha, of course he felt close to him because they had the same midah. And there's more that goes into that, but that was part of on a much, much deeper level than the incomprehensible pshat of why Yitzchak would love Esav. A little bit of a taste of why he felt so deeply connected to Esav is because they were coming from the same Midah, and he saw a spark of Kedusha in Esav. That was all there was, and Esav tricked him, and that's the reality of Esav. But that was what was happening there. He has more to say on that, but that's the main idea. As the Zohar Kadosh says, Al zeh shekol mino hevet mino, because everything loves what they feel close to, what they feel similar to. V'rivka hevet Yaakov, but Rivka loves Yaakov. Kilane emar me'esav shnem. But why is that? Because Yitzchak's trying to figure it out, and Esav's tricky, and he has a little bit of Kedusha, and he's coming from Gevura. But Rivka had something that Yaakov didn't have. She had Nevuah. She had Nevuah come down to her through Shem Ve'Ever, which was, she was told in the Psukim, Shnei goyim bevitneich, there are two nations in your womb. Ushnei le'umim mi'ayich yiparedu, and there's two nations that are going to come out of you, and each one's going to go one way, and one's going to go the other way. She knew one was Kadosh, one was Tameh. She'achad hu mitzad ha-kedusha, that one was going to Kedusha and one was going to Klipa. V'imkein yada ki Esav hu mi'ak Klipa. And therefore she knew that Esav was coming from the Klipa. Because this is an unusual piece. Usually he brings it home and then unpacks it. But there's like a story unfolding here. I'm wondering where he's going. Right? Why Dafka Yitzchak was listened to and not Rivka. So let's see. There's two little paragraphs. Let's see if we can get through them. V'alpize Yish Lavin Mashe Hikshua Mefarshim Madua Hita Dat Yitzchak Livarech Raket Esav. And based on this, we can understand that which the Mefarshim ask. Why Yitzchak wanted Davka to give the bracha to Esav? In the whole parsha here, it's great. Ah, she'af ki ahevet Esav. Every piece in the Zivu Shalom that I've ever learned in this parsha, he's like, each paragraph is one of those pieces. So we're getting the whole rundown. But the was like, you need a lot. We're gonna give everything in one shot. It's not true. It's me. I don't have anything in my life right now, so it's me he's giving it to. Come Wednesday, Bezrat Hashem, I can start learning. Mashik Shuma Farshim, Adu Aita Dat Yiskak Levrechat Esav. Sha'afki Ahevet Esav. Hare Vadaya Dash Yaakovu Ish Tzadik Tam Yashiv Oli. Meaning, again, Yitzchak wasn't stupid. Chas V'Shalom, the people, he was blind, he didn't see, and not all of these, like, you know, I feel about, like, vorts, nice ideas that come from the Parsha. You know, like, you read the Parsha, it's like, it teaches us this beautiful idea. It's like, no, it doesn't. Please don't do that. You know, like, it's, when you read this Parsha, understand that the depth of what's going on here, that Yitzchak Dafka feels connected to Esav, to have to understand where is that coming from, what's happening there. That even though, She'afki Ahevet Esav, of course, even though he loved Esav, of course he loved Yaakov, and he wasn't stupid, Chas V'Shalom. He knew that Yaakov was greater than Esav. Of course he knew that. That he was an Ish Tam Yishev Elim. You didn't think he knew what he was doing with his days? That he was sitting in base Medrash learning all day? Of course he knew that. Why didn't he want to give him the bracha? Or how do we understand this? What did he think? Again, he was wrong, but where was it coming from? He saw Yaakov. What did he say? Yaakov's kulo chesed. Yaakov's mamish kulo chesed. Zakuk, top of the next column, last column. And therefore, he doesn't need bracha. If Yaakov is pure chesed, he doesn't need bracha. His whole life is bracha. Ki midata chesed, he don't shrik hala bracha. Chesed doesn't require bracha. Shebekoach midata chesed, lahamshich ba'atzmata bracha. Chesed is all about going beyond its boundaries, about bringing out more, about connecting. So the chesed is going to bring up bracha on its own. He doesn't need a bracha. He has bracha. He's chesed. Yaakov is bracha. Like we see by Avram, who is the source of chesed. Well, right in the very beginning of Lech Lecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first speaks to Avram, he says to him, you are bracha. Not you're going to have bracha. Since you are chesed, you are a reality of bracha. That Avram was mamash able to bring down all the bracha in the world because he was chesed. So Esav says, so Yaakov doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Sorry. Yeah, he doesn't need it. Aval Esav. Oh, but what did Yitzchak see? Esav. Tzarichu livracha. Esav's going to need the bracha. Shemidatak v'rat tzricha bracha. Because midah is all about limitations, borders, boundaries, internal work, inside. That you need a bracha to be able to get to be able to sustain that, to be able to work through that. Gvura needs bracha. Ukemo dichtiv. Vayi acharei mot Avraham vayivarech Elokim et Yitzchak. As it says, that the second after Avram died, what happens? Vayivarech Elokim et Yitzchak. Why does he get bracha as soon as Avram dies? Because Avram is chesed. And once the chesed is gone, what does Yitzchak need, who is gvura? He needs bracha. Kevan Shisa. Since he's gvura, he needs bracha. Last paragraph. Hopefully, we bring it back home to our original question of why he responds specifically to Yitzchak. V'omnam tachlit ratzon Hashem hayashi Yaakov yikabel abrachot. The whole goal of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted, the ratzon Hashem was that Yaakov should get the brachos. Ukemo she'amra Rivka Yaakov alai. As Rivka says to Yaakov, that I know by Nevuah, you're the one who's supposed to get the brachos. Why? Because yes, he had chesed, but what does Yaakov also have? Vura, because he's Tiferet, he's both chesed and Vura. He's the balance, the union of chesed and Vura. Since he was both chesed and Vura, In Cain, Tzarich Libracha, he needed the bracha also. Yitzchak, there Yitzchak made a mistake. He was right that Esav was kulo gvura, but it was gvura in a negative way. And he was right that Yaakov had chesed, but he had chesed and gvura. So he also needs the bracha, the gvura side of the Tiferet of Yaakov that needs the bracha. V'lachein ahav Yitzchak et Esav, and therefore Yitzchak loved Esav. Al derech ti'itza b'sfarim ha'kadoshim sh'ha'ivarim shel ha'avos ha'kadoshim ayu mezukakim kol kach ad sh'me'atzmam asu atzun Hashem. That there's the sfarim bring down that the bodies of the avos were so kadosh that mamish their bodies did ratzon Hashem, even if the avos weren't aware of what's going on, their bodies did avodas Hashem. And since the Ratzon Hashem was that Yaakov would come and take the brachos, interesting. And he ends there. Wow. Okay. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized things in such a way so that way he would want to dafka give all the bracha to Esav. And since he wanted to give all the bracha to Esav, then when Yaakov came and stole it, he stole all the bracha. And that was always the goal. How does that all fit in? I don't know what that gets into, why Dafka, I guess, it, why Dafka, Yitzchak was answered and not Rivka. I guess in the sense of that this is simply the way it was meant to be. I guess that's the only way that make a Sadak and Sadak. I don't know. The Yiddish didn't answer that part of the question, so my apologies to us. I didn't answer that part of the question. But in terms of how does it link in, usually he's so good about tying everything together. How does it all tie together? Meaning what happens? How does it tie into the darkness coming before the light? What do you say?
It might look bad that Esav's born and he's going to get the bracha, but really it's the light that
it's all coming to Yaakov. That's clear. That's what he's saying. That first of all, Esav has to come first. He has to be the Bechor. And even though there's two in the womb, Esav has to come out first because it's always the darkness before the light. And it always has to be that, and Yitzchak's eyes are going to be dim. And it has to be grim in the sense that it looks like that there's no hope that Yaakov's going to get the bracha. Everything's dark, but what happens? From the very beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was organizing everything, every single step of the way, to make sure that Klal Yisrael, because what does Yaakov get renamed? Yisrael. To make sure that B'nai Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael, to make sure that they get all the bracha. All of it's all about the long game. The long game is, yeah, it's dark now, because the long game is that the darkness is what gets you to the light. And even when it seems impossible, and even when it seems like there's no hope, and even when it seems like Esav's winning, and as we've learned, Esav is the last gullus. He is the gullus of Edom. He is the gullus that we're living in right now. And it looks like Esav's winning. It always looks like Esav's winning. No, that's the darkness before the light. All the bracha comes to Klal Yisrael. All the bracha comes through Klal Yisrael. And it always comes back to the light. We live in a dark time. We feel it. We live in a dark time because we're in the ikvot of the Mashiach. We're in the footsteps of Mashiach. And life is hard. But it's important to be armed with knowledge, to be armed with understanding, to be armed with an understanding of what life is all about. And yes, it doesn't change the fact that darkness is hard. It doesn't mean that Yaakov didn't leave a challenged life, because his whole life is darkness. It's farming down. His whole life is darkness. Yaakov suffers and suffers and suffers. It doesn't change the fact that it's hard. It doesn't change the fact that coming out of the womb of seminary and yeshiva is hard and going into college. It doesn't mean that coming out of the womb of college and going into graduate school is hard. It doesn't change the fact that dating is hard. It doesn't change the fact that starting a job is hard. It doesn't change. No, all these things are going to be dark and all these things are going to be hard. But to know that the darkness is a gift to fight through, to get to the light which is promised at the end. It's not a suffix. No sfeikos. There's no doubts. To get to the light that's promised at the end. The joy, the simcha, the joy, the small joys in the Olam Hazeh, of the ruchnius that we get in the Olam Hazeh. And the greatest joy there is, which is Atzei Nigel Hashem. To be able to push through and embrace the darkness. Embrace the darkness in the sense of, I accept that it's dark. And I can dance in the darkness. Because I know that I'm dancing to the light. And that when that light comes and that dimmer switch gets pulled up all the way to the top, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, I'm just looking at the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I was looking at for the whole time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us to be able to make it through all of the darkness and all of the challenges of life, to be able to push through, to persevere, and to hold strong in our knowledge of what the MS is, even when the darkness tries to confuse that. And to Amir Tzashem, all come to that light together and see the third base of Mikdash built and the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach come out in the end of days. B'Shachem, B'Yerbe, Amen, Amen.